I've known a number of people who have crossed the Quetico and the Boundary Waters Wilderness from Atikokan to Ely by canoe or maybe on skis in the wintertime or on a dog sled. But our next guest, Jason Zaborski from Ely, plans to bushwhack without a watercraft. We've got Jason on the line from Atikokan, where he is poised to begin his journey. Jason, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hi, Dick. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's start with just a little background of who you are and what inspired you to do this. I mentioned that you're from Ely. Why don't you tell our listeners what you do there in Ely and how long you've been there?
You bet. Well, actually, I came up to the Northwoods first through good old Grand Marais.
Really?
In the mid-90s, that was my introduction to the North Woods. I came up there and I worked for Russ and Kathleen Vitton, who were the directors at Adventurous Christians up the Gunflint Trail. And so I guided for them during the summer of 97.
Mm-hmm.
And this old farm kid sort of fell in love with the North Woods and decided this was kind of the place I wanted to be that summer. And it took me a few years to figure that out. I was just coming up here doing the typical canoe trips that everybody does, and then decided that just wasn't enough time up here. So I moved to Ely full time year round in 2004. And so basically, since then, I've been guiding canoe trips and dog sledding trips. Kind of guiding full-time year-round. Started a business over in Ely called Boundary Waters Guide Service, and that kind of grew into an outfitting business, which is Ely Outfitting Company. And so now we do mainly canoe trips and guided canoe trips.
And we'll get into that maybe. Remind me later. I want to tell people how they can sort of follow what you're doing here.
Sure.
As we... with the internet, but so at any rate, since 2004, you've basically been headquartered in Ely, and so I gather
Right.
you've done quite a bit of tripping of the canoeing variety, at least in the Quetico.
Right, in the BWCA and Quetico, and so now I sit at the shop over the course of the summer quite a bit, and I'm routing out canoe parties who are going to, you know, all points BWCA and Quetico, and staring up at our big map wall that shows much of it, and thinking about, you know, all the fun places to go. And I was looking at where I should go this fall on a personal trip, and I couldn't find any real water-based, you know, canoe trips that I found particularly inspiring.
You've done them all.
What's that?
You've done them all.
Well, I certainly haven't done them all, but as I look at the map wall, I see more of places I've been than places that I really want to go. But certainly, it's a massive wilderness. There's lots more places to explore. But I thought, well, the challenge, you know, I was interested in challenging myself and doing something just different. And, you know, so many of our guests are coming up to the North Woods and doing their first canoe trip, and they're really challenging themselves, stretching themselves, and you know, mentally and physically doing something new. I thought, well, I should do something new this fall. And what I found inspiring was looking up the map wall and seeing the places that I hadn't been. And most of those places were on land
difficult to get to by water.
All right. You know, everybody who comes up here virtually sees this part of the world either by canoe on the water or on the portage trails or around camp, or maybe, you know, maybe within 100 yards of one of those places. But I wanted to kind of pull back the curtain and look behind the trees.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your route and your gear and so forth.
Sure.
In general, I saw the map that you had up of your route. It looks like basically almost a north-south or a north-to-south route from Atticoken down to Ely.
Right.
And I understand you had some help in trying to plot out a route that would maybe be a little less brushy than a lot of it. How did you do that?
Well, we looked at three main routes. We looked at a kind of a westerly route and an easterly route, and then this route kind of right down the middle. And, you know, some help has come from watching, you know, the age of burns. Part of it has to do with the big ridge lines, like along Agnes, that go kind of northeast to southwest. They're just kind of up and over and up and over. Part of it is just avoiding significant blowdown, and part of it's avoiding some of the biggest swamps, and some of it's just avoiding water, because it's a land-based trip, and one of the more risky parts are the water crossing, since I don't have a boat.
Yeah, and we'll get into that for a minute. But, you know, I look at the Quetico map, and it's about half water. Half water, half land. So you got to, but I can see how you can pick a route through there somehow.
It's a great maze, Dick. It's a great maze.
What do you think the distance is going to be?
Well, the total distance, I'm actually, right now I'm at the Atticoken Hotel in Atticoken. A friend just dropped me off. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk from here back to our shop in Ely, in downtown Ely. And the distance as it's mapped out on Google Maps is about 75 miles. It's at least 80 miles, but probably significantly more, because the bushwhack is going to be much more windy than a line on Google Maps, right?
Yeah, I wanted to read real quickly a little squib from the writing by Daniel Alvarez. Do you know who he is? The guy who's doing the kayak trip from Rainy Lake to Key West and back? And he's up crashing through the old route, Voyager route on the Cam River, and he describes going through what the woods are like up there, which you're going to be dealing with.
Right.
He says, I splashed across the mouth of the icy creek and plunged into a lattice of branches on the far side, bending them underneath me, snapping them with my weight, pushing myself through. The first 30 feet felt more like swimming than walking, my hands pulling and shoving branches aside, my feet fumbling for footing in the soft mud and fallen. How does that sound to you?
Well, first thing, I think he sounds more eloquent than me.
But, he's a good writer, yeah.
But I think that sounds like a lot of what I'm going to see.
Yeah, I would think so, too. So roughly how many miles do you think you can go in an average day?
I'm shooting for 6 miles per day, mm-hmm. actually, in the wilderness. So between the northern edge of Quetico when I cross in and the southern edge of the BWCA when I cross out, I'm hoping to go 6 miles per hour. And that route horizontally is
6 miles per hour, 6 miles per day,
6 miles per day.
Yeah. Okay. But you're clearly going to be crossing water.
Right.
And what's your plan for that?
It's kind of novel. I'm going to be swimming. And when I was initially thinking about this, we thought about some different options for crossings. One was stripping down to our skivvies and swimming across, but that didn't sound like the most appealing option in the end. So what it came down to was a dry suit. So I've got a lightweight dry suit by Kokatat. It's under 2 pounds. And so when I get to a water crossing, then I pull that out of my pack, take off my boots, socks, and everything go in. It's a booty-style dry suit. I zip it up. You're probably familiar with dry suits. It's got gaskets mm-hmm. at your wrists and at your neck. And I'll put on some webbed mitts. They're kind of webbed light neoprene mitts. My pack needs to come. come with me, of course. So I'll swim and tethered with a light rope to my wrist will be my pack, and it'll float alongside me.
Speaking with Jason Zaborski, who's ready to take off on a bushwhacking trip from Atikokan to Ely without a watercraft. And Jason, let's talk a little bit more about your gear. What kind of shelter do you have?
Well, I've tried to err on the side of caution, and because it's a solo trip, I've been just a little extra careful. So I'm taking a solo tent, a lightweight solo tent, and that way I know that I'm going to stay dry, and I know that it's not a shelter that's going to let wind or snow blow in under it, and it's just gonna keep me bone dry. I know that. So that's my shelter.
And I think you calculated roughly your progress the way you described it would take you about a couple of weeks, would it,
right,
to make the trek?
Right.
And are you bringing any kind of tools along to lop branches at all, or are you just pushing them aside?
Right, no machete and no big knives or anything like that, no loppers.
And that probably wouldn't be permitted under Quetico Park rules, or certainly not Boundary Waters rules anyway. I mean, speaking of that, I gather you have to have both permits for the Quetico and the Boundary Waters?
Right, so I swung by the Quetico Park office here in Atikokan this afternoon, met with their staff and got my permit for Quetico, and had a nice time chatting with them. They're pretty interested. They're going to follow us on.
You hadn't told them you were doing this until now, until today.
Well, right? I communicated with the park biologist as well as the park librarian.
Okay.
Well before the trip, the folks who were helping with the permit and some information about actually getting to the park boundary and such were pretty interested.
And are there any rules that you ran afoul of that you had to adjust any of your plans for, or within the Quetico, or?
No, not at all. No, they were. I spent quite a bit of time talking to them about routing issues and things like that, and they said, everybody had said they'd never heard of anybody do that before. The closest they heard was maybe a dog that apparently had got lost in Quetico and made its way back to the U.S.
Okay, well, I've never heard of it either, and I'm sure, I think you mentioned earlier that none of your friends in Ely, and you've certainly got a lot of acquaintances with adventurers there, have heard of anybody doing this either.
Right, and you know, I stopped at the Quetico Library today and talked with Andrea Allison. She's the librarian. I don't know if you've heard of that resource they have there, but it is just absolutely phenomenal. They've got just absolutely everything about the history of Quetico Park.
Really?
And
yeah.
It's open to the public. And it's a bit of a drive up from places like Grand Marais, but it's a destination. And so I just talked to her a little bit this afternoon about resources they had in the library and things like that. And she's been there for decades, she said she wasn't aware of anybody who'd ever done something like this.
No, I think everybody sticks to the water routes pretty much. I mean, I know there's this old history of steamboats on Sturgeon Lake and things like that, and logging and water access, but
sure.
to trek across land, I can't imagine that's ever been done, actually, except...
Right. Yeah, and even, you know, Native peoples, when they were traveling, or prospectors and things like that who were, you know, out in these woods 100 years ago or whatever, you know, in the summer, they used watercrafts as well.
Sure.
Historic trails.
Yeah, they were obviously into the woods, but that was only away from the water for a while and then back to the water.
Right.
How about, you mentioned snow, and of course you're starting out in a time of year when that certainly can happen. Have you looked at the long-range forecast at all?
Yeah, we have two cold fronts coming through in about the next 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get cold and then colder. But that's not my main concern. My main concern weather-wise is that it stays dry.
Sure.
That's my real hope, is that for safety, that it stays dry. You know, a large part of that is just slipping and falling issues or turning your ankle issues that are just a lot worse if it's wet. And then also, you know, you stay dry, you stay warm, and cross my fingers.
Sure. And obviously you've got to have a lot of calories with you in one shape, form, or another. What
right.
are you carrying for food?
Right. Well, 2 pounds per day, and it's in large part mostly freeze-dried with some high-calorie homemade Hudson Bay bar type things and a couple other, a little bit of cheese for high calorie in there as well.
Are you going to be doing some cooking then? I mean, you have a stove?
I am. So I'll have a jet boil stove that's ultralight, so I can boil water, you know, in 2 minutes. But then I'll also be able to make fires. But, you know, fire out there is different this time of year because you got dry leaves on the ground, and I'm not camping typically at, customary campsites.
Yeah,
near water.
Right. For the listeners who don't know that, in the Quetico, you can camp. You don't have to camp at a designated campsite.
Right.
So how much weight do you think you're starting out with carrying?
Starting out with 54 pounds.
Okay. That includes your dry suit, your 2 pound dry suit.
It does. Yeah.
Well, it's an absolutely amazing adventure. And the other thing I wanted to for sure touch on is, how are you maintaining communications? I would assume all that communication stuff would be add weight. I mean, if you're carrying GPSs, spots, or radio phones or something, what did you come up with for communication?
Sure. Well, I decided to bring the satellite phone along, and so I can call in where I'm at and updates and get information out if I need to. And so I've got a friend back in Ely who's going to take those messages and put them on our Facebook page.
And that Facebook page is?
It is facebook.com/ Ely Outfitting Company.
Ely Outfitting Company. Okay.
Yep, and it's all spelled out.
All right. And so folks who want to follow you can follow on Facebook, and I suppose they can friend you or whatever they need to do, however
that
works.
Whatever that is, right, exactly.
And I remember reading in the little article that was written about you in the newspaper that you are carrying a smartphone.
Right. So, traveling in the Boundary Waters in the summer, you set a paper map at your feet and glance down at it every once in a while, and it's no problem in a canoe. But, navigating in the trees is really different. And so I'm actually using the tool that I found that is going to work best is actually my iPhone.
As opposed to a GPS unit?
The iPhone 5 that I have has GPS built in. Go figure, mm-hmm. And it doesn't even need cell service.
That's amazing. I didn't realize that. How does that work? I mean, because of GPS is, of course, satellite-based, but...
Right. It's just the technology that's inside of that little box that's really lightweight that works just for the GPS without needing any cell service. What you do need cell service for, though, is for the maps.
Oh, yeah.
Unless... you go ahead and in advance download the maps onto your iPhone so you can use them when you just have a GPS signal and not the...
So that's what you did, obviously.
So that's what I did, right. So I've got actually all the satellite imagery for my whole route actually right on my really lightweight iPhone. And then I also have all the shaded topo maps right on my little iPhone. And it shows me right where I'm at and tracks me as I go. So it's a pretty interesting piece of new technology that I was surprised to find.
And you're obviously must have a little solar charger or something to keep the batteries going?
Right. So I thought solar, and that's kind of where everybody goes, except I'm just not going to see much sun. I'm just going to be whacking trees, and they're, you know, all this alder is going to try to rip everything off my back. Instead of using a solar charger, I've got to have battery backup. So I just have some batteries that plug directly into the phone, and then recharge the phone. So I've got enough for more than one full charge on my phone each day.
Oh yeah, well that sounds good. Well, Jason, it sounds like you're very well prepared. You're very inspiring to all of us who are listening here now, and we wish you the best of luck and hope to follow you as you make your way bushwhacking. I'm real interested to see how far you get each day, and I know you've got to cross water right away as you leave Atikokan there, so good luck with it, and we'll talk to you again when you get to Ely.
Great. Dick, thanks a bunch, and thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.